The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger as we bring you the 2009 NFL and college football season in style. We've got you covered with game insight, opinion, and football expertise. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing you don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of them this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Before we get underway, we want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And also, you can go to our good friend, jasonpeter.com. JP, how are you on this beautiful weekend?
I'm good. How's my favorite Sooner?
Hey, that's so sweet of you. Well, I'm enjoying the sunshine. It's the double nickel. It's 55 plus down here. So good weather and always a good conversation with Jason Peter. And I want to talk to you about spring practice because we're all excited. Of course, the Sooners and the Cowboys, they get underway on Monday and get ready to line it up. But how about Peyton Manning? You know, here he is, this 12-year veteran in the NFL, and he underwent surgery for a pinched nerve. I mean, how many times has he won the MVP and all the success of the Colts? And who knew that he was suffering from this lingering neck injury?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knew. I mean, maybe the people out in Indianapolis, but as far as the public, this was the first that I had heard of it, that he had had surgery. And certainly, that's not something you're going to let out if it's something that he can still function, he can still go out and perform. There's no reason to put him on the injury report. When you do that and you're a quarterback, you're sort of putting a big bullseye on a certain part of your body. But yeah, the neck, it's a thing. I obviously have my own personal history with neck problems, and they're not the same injuries. I have a degenerative spinal process, and he's got, what was it, pinched nerves. But I think with Peyton, you start to look at it, and now he's in, he finished his 12th year. And over the last three seasons, the past three seasons, I think he's had two surgeries now, one on his knee, I believe, and now the neck. And no, for myself, it's not really a red flag. This sort of thing happens. You know, most of the time when you talk about the quarterback position, I think you're probably looking at shoulder injuries and you know, a freak knee injury like Tom Brady had. So for Peyton, you know, is the neck going to be a major issue? I think if they doctors can go in and clean it up and just take care of it to the point where he can still go out and play at a high level, I really don't think there's any reason to panic if you're an Indy fan. I mean, this guy just had one of the greatest seasons that he's had, and he continues to get better and better. And it's almost crazy when you think about this is a guy who was suffering from pinched nerves in his neck, and he still went out and competed at such a high level.
Well, and the medical staff, they said that, you know, how long is this condition, how long has it existed? And a lot of folks wanted to know. And I guess it's been lingering for the past 4 years. And you talk about a guy that's just been the model of stability throughout his NFL career. And you even alluded to it too, Jason, talking about just the success that they have had. I mean, you look at the Colts, I mean, 8 straight playoff appearances. They've reached the Super Bowl twice. They won it all in 2006. He's just a special, special player.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you mentioned how it's been going on for the last 4 years, and I know that each time I had a major surgery. Now, I've had probably the same surgery that Peyton is going to have. I think it's probably just going to be a decompression where they go in and they kind of shave away some of that bone around that nerve and just gives it a little bit more room to flex and move around in there without, you know, shooting pain going down your arm or you lose complete feeling in half of your body. But, you know, for Peyton, I understand why you'd want to kind of hold off on it. I mean, when you take a or 4 months off to have a surgery, it really sets you back. And I know with Peyton, it's all about winning Super Bowls. And, you know, I think if I know his mentality at all, and I think I have a good idea of the type of competitor he is, he says to himself probably every night, I'll try to hold off on everything until I'm finished. And if I can somehow or another make it through my career and just kind of deal with the consequences when I'm done playing, then that's what I'll do. And that's the competitor in him, and it's probably not always the best way of thinking. And it's not just Peyton that thinks like that. It's all players. I mean, you never want to kind of put yourself on the shelf for however months it is. You want to go out. You want to compete. These are the best of the best that are out there, and that's part of the reason, I think, why they're able to get to that level is that competitive drive.
Jason, you're speaking from experience. I mean, you've had a number of back injuries and things that you've had to deal through and muscle your way through. When was your first surgery, and how much did that change as far as your NFL career?
Yeah, the first surgery that I had was my rookie year, and it was the end of my rookie year, I think with about two games left, and it was my shoulder. They went in and completely just, you know, there was torn labrum, there was some of the rotator cuff was torn, and it's a difficult thing to overcome. That was the first time I'd ever had surgery, and I didn't really know what to expect when I woke up on that operating room table. And I guess the best way that I could explain the feeling when I woke up was it felt like there was somebody who had been stabbing me with a knife repeatedly just in and out of my shoulder. And that was the type of pain. That was the feeling that you had. And it really was a tough, difficult thing to battle back from, because you're at a point where you can't move your shoulder at all, and in your head you're thinking, how am I ever going to be able to shed a 350-pound offensive lineman when right now I can't lift my arm above my head? And that's kind of the physical state that you'll be in for a while. And the recovery, it's a slow, kind of grueling process. And you know, for athletes, I think they expect to be able to go back out the next day and still perform at a high level. At least that's what their mind's telling them. But sometimes the body can't follow as fast as the mind does. And for myself, you know, it was that first surgery, and even before the next season started, I had the other shoulder done, and then the following year, I had the neck done, and one of the shoulders, and it was just always something for me. I mean, and I think the first 4 years, every single season, I had two major surgeries, either at the end of the year or sometime close to the end of the season.
That is amazing. Jason Peter is along with us on the Big E Sports Show. So when you had that first shoulder surgery you were talking about, how long did it take to be able to rehab it, to be able to at least get out there and practice?
I missed all of the mini camps. Now, I had both shoulders because I had that first one done, and then a couple months later when I was able to get a little bit of function in that shoulder, they went and they did the other one. So I missed all of the mini camps, and even when I came back for training camp, I was on a very limited schedule, and you know, be able to practice once a day, and maybe it was every other day that I was able to practice. So it's a long, long, grueling process. And, you know, for Peyton, I don't know how serious. If it's the surgery that I think he had, the one that I said I had, the decompression, that was something actually that I had in the middle of the season. It was my second year. And about five games in, I got stuck underneath a pile with about three 300-pounders laying on top of me. And when they all got off, I couldn't feel half of my body. And they end up, when we got back to Carolina, being able to go in and do this decompression. And I missed about the next 8 weeks of the season, but I was able to come back for the last four or five games. So if that's the surgery that he had, then it's not that bad. of a recovery. So hopefully for his sake, it's that type of surgery and not something more serious.
Hopefully for his sake and also for the Colts' sake. Jason Peter is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are burning time very quickly. The number of topics that we've got to discuss, and I know that perhaps we're going to turn JP into a women's basketball fan. Who knew that freshman Brittany Griner from Baylor, we've heard so much about her that she's the future women's basketball. You know, we saw her dunk on TV. And then sucker punch Texas Tech's very own Jordan Barncastle right in the face. I'm not sure if you saw that on YouTube, but pretty unfortunate. It's certainly perhaps even a black eye for women's basketball.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. I mean, I was shocked when I saw this. It was something similar as to the opening night in college football when you had LeGarrette Blount from Oregon punch the player from Boise State in the face. But I think even this might be a bigger black eye, because I think when people think football, they think physical. Not that it's okay to go in and punch your opponent after the game is over, even over the course of a game. Certainly there's stuff that's going to happen at the bottom of piles, but when you talk about basketball, I think people do feel maybe a little bit closer to the athletes, because there isn't 40 pounds of equipment on them. They don't have helmets on. People are right down on the court when you go to a game. So it is much more, I think, personable, the sport itself. And when you have a camera, you know, right there 10 feet away, and you have a girl that just goes and cracks somebody right in the noggin there, that's not going to be a positive thing for girls basketball. Although, like we spoke a little bit before, it is something that will bring attention. If it's positive or negative, I don't know. If you sign on to the whole Lane Kiffin thing, as long as they're talking about you, that's the important thing. And, well, now women are talking about ladies basketball. But you got to think back just a few months when there was the soccer player from New Mexico State. She was out there pulling ponytails and elbowing people, and as far as I know, soccer hasn't got a big television contract yet, and nobody's really talking about it. But obviously, women's basketball and Big 12 basketball, it's something that people enjoy watching, and they should, because they're top-notch athletes who go out and compete night in and night out.
Okay, Jason Peter, I'm going to assume, being the father of a daughter now, that you're going to probably TiVo this, perhaps show your little girl this is something that you don't do when you're mad and you're frustrated. So.
Yeah, I know. It goes under the whole sportsmanship, and a lot of people argue that we've lost, I think, a sense of sportsmanship in this day and age. And whether or not that's true, I don't know. I mean, you have athletes that walk off the field after games. I mean, we talked about it a week or two ago with Peyton walking off the field. It was the NBA Finals with LeBron walking off the court. And I guess there is an argument to be made that there has been, I think, a loss of sportsmanship. And you have players that are punching people in the face and pulling ponytails. But I think when you talk about just the competitive nature of these athletes, and I think that's the thing that's different than maybe it was 20 or 30 years ago, is it's become more of a full-time gig. It's 365 days a year. It's not something that you just do in September, from September until December. This is something that you do from January to January. People, especially when you talk about some of the sports like football, where the professional leagues are the money that's being made, it's just ridiculous. You have kids that are in 7th and 8th grade that are personal training with trainers and going to specific camps for football or for basketball, because they have in their mind that they're going to get a Division I scholarship and they're going to make it to the NFL and they're going to be a first rounder. And the money certainly isn't the same in the WNBA, but there's still money to be made. And I just think when you talk about the competitiveness, and you talk about, I think, how big college sports has become. It really has. Even just in the 10, 15 years since I've played, it's a whole different game now. I mean, it's just so much it's so much bigger and it's so much more popular. And obviously the internet and you know, the DirecTV with 6,000 channels and even just regular cable now, you can get 300 channels. So I think these kids are in more living rooms these days and there's more of a following. And you know, on the flip side of the coin, they're more passionate about what they do.
Jason Peter has been with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. I'm going to let you take your pick. You can either give us a quick hit on Big 12 football as teams are already underway with spring practice, or what do you think about the fact that Nicholas thinks that Tiger Woods will be playing in the Masters? You take your pick. Which topic you want to hit on?
I hope so. I hope that Tiger is playing. I think that's the one thing that is going to make people forget a little bit about what the circus that's been following him around for the last few months. I think that's almost as much of the healing process as him going off and getting this therapy. I think, if anything, it might be even a bigger factor in, I think, his recovery is getting some more balance in his life. And I know that was huge for me is you know, battling my addictions with drugs. It was getting balance. It was you know, being able to have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And right now it's all been about Tiger and the other women and Tiger and being in sex rehab and everything kind of revolving around that side of his life. And not to say that it shouldn't be talked about, but I think in terms of him, just personally, I think it will be huge for him to get back out on that golf course and give some people some other things to talk about when they're talking about Tiger Woods.
Very well said. Go to jasonpeter.com. You can find out all kinds of great stuff in there as we do our weekly Under the Helmet segment. I'm sure that, you know, we've got to get ready and start talking about some March Madness here momentarily. You know,
can't wait. Who's going to get that fourth number one seed?
Yeah, that's the question that you'll have to answer for me, Jason. My head's so wrapped around NBA these days. Okay, listen, have a great weekend with the family. We will catch up with you next week.
Thanks, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just one moment.